shit on the floor. It's up to the DMV.
DMV.
It's up to the DMV. Everybody shits on the floor at the DMV, dude. It's obvious.
It's because they've been waiting so long. Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast, the PC gaming podcast that's not so PC. I'm Bobby.
And I'm Emilio.
All right. And we've got a new call-in method that is going to be happening this show. We're going to announce it this show, but it'll probably take effect in later shows. So we're not going to be doing the call-ins anymore where we play the game show anymore. Sorry, but that is that ran its course. What we're going to be doing now is at any time during the show, if you feel like you've got something to contribute.
If you got the moxie, if you got the chops, kid.
Then you can call in, and Sniper is going to be in Discord. You can go join the channel that he's in, talk to him, and he will prep you and get you ready, and then we'll get you on the line, and you can talk to us for about a minute. You know, let's not push it, guys. Maybe a minute. But the idea is here is that if you've got, like, if we totally forget something about a game, or if you want to settle an argument, or if you got something valuable to contribute, then call in and let your voice be heard.
So we're going to get a bunch of trolls.
Yeah, no, none of this Baba Booey, Howard Stern crap.
Yeah, so you basically got to get past Sniper. If he validates you, he's going to be in trouble if if you get past. So
yeah. So I don't know. We'll see how this works out. But I think it'll be fun just, you know, at any point during the show, because there's a lot of, I can tell, like, some people in chat get pretty heated sometimes when we're discussing stuff, and they really want to weigh in on whatever we're discussing.
So. You know, it really grinds my gears.
All right. We got some gifts in the chat here. Thank you, M. Pilaf, for gifting those subscriptions.
Thanks.
All right. How has this week in gaming been for you? It's been so-so for me.
Pretty good. I got to play more than it was a 3-day weekend. So, did that affect you? Are you working? Like,
not really. No. It's technically a 4-day weekend for us, but working from home in this kind of weird quasi work state, it didn't really affect me that much.
As long as the checks keep coming in, man.
Yeah.
And you don't have a commute.
Yeah, that is nice. And there's just not as much traffic out right now in general, which has been nice. It's got to see those silver linings. But yeah, it's been a pretty mediocre week in gaming for me. Like, I wasn't... All right, first of all, we left off last show saying we're both going to play Kentucky Route Zero, and we're going to come back and talk to it. Because once a month, we wanted to have a game that we both play so we could discuss those. Windows update coming in. First caller on the line.
That's every time we're on, every week, man.
Yeah. I'm going to install Windows updates after this episode.
Okay.
But yeah, so we didn't play Kentucky Route Zero.
Because Crucible came out, and that just seemed more like, you know, it's what the cool kids are playing this week, while we thought.
It's the hot topic.
Yeah, it is the hot topic. So we just switched over to Crucible. I guess we just get right into it.
Mm-hmm.
We're already here. So it got review bombs right off the bat, because I believe the matchmaking was terrible. Or not matchmaking as far as, like, skill levels, but just getting into a match was... pretty tough for me. Did you have any issues?
So I played it shortly after it came out, like the evening after it came out.
Uh-huh, so did I.
I heard it was worse even right after it came out.
Yeah.
My computer straight up locked up the first time I tried to run this game. The whole computer, like, froze. My mouse is just kind of skipping across the screen as I move it. It did this for a few minutes and then finally just snapped out of it.
Want to click on it, Bobby, so we get some info on it?
Oh, yeah. Let me pull up that visual. So after that, I loaded it up again. Everything seemed okay, but then at some point, the game froze up on me again, did the same thing. So I'm usually able to look past any technical problems with a game. I usually can say, you know what, this is going to be patched out, and not let it affect my opinion of the game. But I think it really did without me knowing it, because I continued to play the game. And even when it was working, I was just like, I don't know. Maybe it just took time, because when I went back and played this a few days later with you and we were playing with some listeners, weren't we?
Yeah, just Beirut.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. So there were three of us in a 4-man squad, and I had a much better time.
Yeah. And we also went on a tear, I feel like. We had one loss with Beirut, then we won, and then we won like three or four more. which is fun, including one of their alpha, whatever
alpha
they call
hunters.
It.
So there's alpha three hunters. Modes to the game. There's alpha hunters, which is your battle royale. Now the whole thing I was excited about this game or this battle royale mode was you can break and make alliances with other players. Nobody's doing that though. At least nobody's accepting my alliance offers.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it. And the other thing is there's only 16, eight teams.
Eight teams of two.
Yeah. So like people. It sounds great, but it's not this long drawn out thing where alliances are made and broken. You're kicking off Frank from the island because he didn't go. There's none of that.
It's like, too quick of a game. Even
it's
though
too quick of a game. Yeah.
The time to kill is lower, which is why I really like this game compared to other battle royales. Like it isn't you stick your toe out from behind a crate, you get shot and you're dead.
Oh yeah, it's an adventure every fight. Yeah,
there's an exchange through the fight. And there's lots of chances to outplay the opponent because of how long it takes.
Quickly give a synopsis of what it is. It's a first-person shooter made by Amazon Games. I believe this is like their first big foray out in gaming.
Yeah, I mean, it's made by Relentless Studios, but, you know, it's under Amazon Games. It's being bankrolled by them. This and New World are the big PC games that they have coming out this year.
Yep, and so, like he was saying, there's the Battle Royale mode. There's the... What's it called? Like core
Heart of the Hives.
Heart of the Hives is the I want to say the more MOBA-esque of the
So that's levels. 4v4, and every so often on the map, a point spawns that everybody has to fight over and capture. There is creeps around the map that you go and you kill and you get basically XP. They call it essence, and you can level up your team that way. So there's stuff, and I like that aspect too. You don't really have that in other battle royales, like something to do other than hunt other players.
Yeah.
Like a PvP, or I'm sorry, a PvE element to it.
And there's also events that go on, and the events like randomly spawn, and they might give you like a really good buff, like regeneration or double damage or something like that, or increased damage. And so that becomes another hot point. So, you know, you have multiple things to do, and it kind of, you got to really strategize quickly about what you're going to do and why you're doing it. Don't just be going off and doing whatever. You have to have focus. You got to stay with your team for the most part, or at least be within a certain amount of time where you could get over if they get in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, like any MOBA, there's times to split up and there's times to be with your team and don't engage if you don't have your team or if you're outnumbered, obvious stuff like that. The third mode is probably the least exciting of all of them. That is just, I can't remember what they call it, but it's basically you run around and capture various points and try to hold on to them as long as you can while killing enemies. And the Heart of the Hives really draws people in, so there's a guaranteed fight, which I really like. And then, of course, Battle Royale, like the objective is to kill everybody else. That's the only way you win. So there's a reason for people to be fighting for action. And the other mode, you can just run around and cap things and escape fights. It's I don't know. I don't enjoy it nearly as much. I didn't like Alpha Hunters at first, but that kind of won me over after a little while, probably because of that amazing game that we had.
Dude, that was incredible. It came down to Bobby, who was playing the tankiest of the tank.
Brother.
Yeah, brother. And then he was going up against the, like...
The little raccoon guy.
Yeah, which is basically like a Rocket Raccoon kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he just teleports away, and Bobby's like... super slow but tanky, and it just went on forever. It was it felt like a 2-minute fight between them two, and it was fun to watch from a spectator view, but even though I made it to the end, I was like this
third. I mean, you died right before that happened. Then it was the 1v1, and you know, you can heal up if you find cover. You can certain characters have a lot of mobility or shields. Like these are long drawn out fights, so it was really, I really enjoyed like having that exchange in combat. Like, okay, he used that, so I'm going to use this. Or like, oh, he's doing that now, so I'm just going to counter with this. You know, being able to do that rather than just like someone peeks out behind a corner and gets shot in the head and dies. So I really like that about this game. I don't know. I like this game. It didn't really blow me away, and it kind of feels a little thin at this point.
I like the game. I don't love it. I do have to give some credit to the characters in this world where every game is coming out with 20 characters, and obviously these are, they have the archetypes going on. You got your sniper dude, you got your heavy weapon dude, you got your...
You got Soldier 76.
Yeah, you got Soldier 76. I still feel like some of them are kind of special. Like, they definitely stand out. Not that they're, like, breaking molds and they're outside of archetypes, but within that world, they did a really good job. The characters look fantastic. They feel pretty good. I would say they're mostly balanced. Yeah, you got your axe guy, you got your flamethrower guy, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, they're all there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just... The more I play this game, the more I like it. It is the type of game where I can't see myself spending too much time in it. But as far as like battle royales go, I just had such a hard time getting into them because they require such precision with the mouse, you know, and like that, a lot of like hiding, and then that just 1 second of action and everything's decided. And some people really love that. A lot of people really love that. And that's great for them.
But. Yeah. But like I said before, you have so many things to do. You're busy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the creeps, now that I was thinking about it, it'd be nice to have a creature that interacts with the creeps. What character that interacts with the creeps somehow. Maybe tames a herd or something and then can control them or something. That'd be cool. But it doesn't do that. But the creeps do get in the way a lot. There's like these brontosaurus, well, not that big, but like rhinosaurus type thing. Rhinoceros. And... they get in the way of fights all the time. If you aggro one and it's in your face while you're trying to fight, like you're probably going to lose that fight or it's going to affect you completely. There's also these things that just shoot acid at you. You know, if you're taking that constant damage while you're in a fight, that's mm-hmm. not good.
Depending on what character you are, you might have a small health pool and that damage can actually add up.
Yep. The high fights, Bobby, I think it's supposed to be kind of like a boss fight, let's say. I would like a little bit more variation in them. It's mm-hmm. like the same fight every time. And I also feel like it's a little too easy, don't you think?
Depends on what character you are. Those things, when you shoot the hive for a certain period of time, so the objective is to shoot the hive, kill it, and then it spawns a heart, and then you have to channel that.
You do that 3 times, you win.
Yeah. But the hive will shoot out these... little heat-seeking missiles right at you, and you can shoot them down, but if you don't, they do quite a bit of damage, especially if you're a low-health character. And yeah, it's all, like I said, the game's pretty thin. Like, there's not too much to it. You play this for 3 hours, you have a complete understanding of the game. Now, you can play different characters, you can learn their abilities, you can learn how to counter and outplay certain things, but it doesn't seem as in-depth as a lot of MOBAs. I don't know why I'd even draw that comparison other than like a few things it has in common with the genre. But yeah, I don't know. It's a great game and there's a lot to build off of it. I kind of feel bad that it's been maligned so quickly due to technical issues.
Yeah. It's tough. It's hard to climb out of that hole once you, first impressions and whatnot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I can recommend it. Every day it seems to be getting a little bit better. I couldn't. My first game took me half an hour. I was going to give up. I was at like 35 minutes when I finally got into a game. And at that time, I had run out of time.
The queue times were longer earlier.
Yeah. No, I just kept getting dropped. I would get into a game and they get dropped. And then, because if one person leaves, it would crash, basically, the connection. But it all seems to be working a lot better now. It's not perfect and it's not super fast, but it, you know. We were having fun.
Yeah, and it seems like a good amount of people are playing this game.
Yep.
Well, it's up a little bit. It's at 44% on Steam. I'd be interested to see what other outlets have to say about this, like IGN and PC Gamer.
And they're doing the free-to-play correctly. You can only unlock cosmetics, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, so Crucible, I don't know. It's free. It costs you, what, 13 gigs? It's probably worth checking out.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. I mean, it's free.
All right, so the other game that we both played, not together, but we both played this, Vulcanoids.
Yeah.
Why am I getting a bang? So you did not seem to like this game.
No. It's just not my thing, man. Well,
it's a crafting survival game.
Correct. Crafting survival with a story, which I think if I'm going to play a crafting survival, I think I'd rather have a story, but I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't have much of a story. It's got a little bit.
Yeah, it's got a guy. A mystery.
Yeah, really? I don't know.
Well, the volcano goes off every 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, so the volcano goes off, well, depending on what difficulty you play on. The volcano goes off every so often, and you are driving this large worm-like drill, very Jules Verne, very Journey of the Center to the Earth, if you will, You're driving this machine and you can submerge underneath the ground, and then you can kind of swim around under the ground and gather resources that way, which I really enjoyed, by the way. You know, the problem with crafting survival games with me is that you're constantly hitting trees. That's a huge part of every crafting survival game, and it gets really old really quick.
Well, you're mining ore in this.
You are mining ore, but you can also get it by killing these enemies called cogs, the robots.
The robots, yeah.
You can also get it when you're underground, and I call it swimming. This game seems very aquatic to me because it feels much like a boat, but really it's land, and you're drilling around underneath the ground.
Yeah, but it's like a mini game. Mm-hmm. Inside and down there. It's just a point and click. You're just moving this little drill.
Yeah.
It looks like.
But there's certain rocks that you have to upgrade so you can move through those. And then if you upgrade your hole, you can move through hotter lava for longer. There's a lot of little things. Not only that, but there's three layers that you can go down to. So you can submerge and then submerge again and go into another tunnel.
How much time did you put in?
About 8 hours into this.
Oh, shit, dude.
It's the type of game that requires a lot of time to really get into.
Yeah.
And most of that was single player. It's a good game. Crafting Survival is a hard sell for me, so, you know, it's an uphill battle for this game. But it does some things different, and that's what you have to do. Unfortunately, a lot of Crafting Survival out there is just the same. And this one, you know, it's got the whole drill thing, the whole... It changes the way where you can collect the resources, which is nice. The biggest problem for me, though, is this game kind of gave me a bit of a headache because the UI is very complex and not really in a satisfying or a good way. It can be very difficult to tell if you want to construct something. There's a lot of gathering resources and constructing things. And it's very cool the way that you do. You install these things in your ship. And you can even deploy them. They can drop down from the sides of your ship, like your turrets. Yeah. And you can turn them off and they can come back up. Like, it's very cool. And you can save energy by, managing certain modules, they call them.
Yeah, when you put a module in, you're physically changing your drill, right?
You can upgrade your drill. But if you look, like, right here as he's walking through there, like, the panels on the sides, those are all the modules that will actually stick out from the side of your ship.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're, like, physically changing the outside of your...
Yeah, but you can also retract those back into your ship. But the way that you craft things, though, the UI that they use for that, I find very difficult to understand.
There's, like, multiple... Goddamn dog, dude. The gardener's here, guys, in case you're wondering.
Yeah, it's difficult to explain, and I spent a lot of time trying to figure out how I wanted to explain this without sounding confusing, but it's a confusing system, so maybe that's the only way to explain it. So if I wanted to craft a Intel Research Tier 2, there are maybe 4 or 5 different ways that I can do that. And the display that comes up, the different ways that I can do it are separate icons, and they have different colored borders on them, and I'm not quite sure what each one means. Like, there's one, you have to hover over it, then it'll tell you, okay, well, you need this resource, but then you also need this this module, like a tier 1 or a tier 2 module in research to be able to craft this. And, like, part of that's part of the game, to be able to figure that stuff out and to do it effectively. But I feel like visually that could be represented in a much better way.
I didn't like it. And, it's just, I'm not into crafting survival so much. And I felt like it was bogged down. I couldn't do everything at work. One workbench, I had to go over to this workbench to do this kind of alchemy. And then I had to go over here to put things together. And then, like you said, you might have to go to another thing that you don't even own yet. So you got to go research that and then build that. It just seemed like a lot of busy work and not enough action. And then the action when you got to it was, the shooting is super rudimentary, fighting with the cogs and whatnot.
It is. But I was thinking, God, how far have we come in the last 5 or 6 years? Because I remember combat in games like Rust or, God, whatever that other one was. But I remember it being so bad. Like, the hitboxes were way off, and there was so much latency and so many issues with it. And now, I mean, the combat in this game, it's purely nothing fantastic. Online, though.
You're going online versus...
Well, this game is co-op as well, which just came in with a recent update. I did play a little co-op too. I jumped into other people's games, and that's where I really think this game would thrive, because I went through the tutorial and they kind of lead you on with all these quests, and maybe that's why I was having a difficulty and things seemed very confusing, because they explain everything in text and it's very small up in the corner. And it was like,
very small, dude. I was squinting.
Yeah.
I feel
it's these
old,
high resolution
man.
Monitors that we have.
Yeah.
You know, that's why it's so tiny. But I was doing all that. And then at a certain point I was like, this would be so much easier if I had more people helping me with this. Like if I had someone who was going out and fending off these robots, another person going and getting some coal so I could keep things running. You have to keep the coal just constantly going in so you can keep all your machines going. And then somebody else just handling the research. And so I jumped in a few multiplayer games or a few co-op games, and it's a hard game to jump into because people have their own thing going on.
Yeah.
I mean, you can figure out kind of where they're at and you can look at their upgrades, but it's also kind of touchy too, because people may be doing something very specific and they don't want you coming in and messing with their stuff. I got kicked out of one game, and I kind of went in, and it was when I was really new to the game before I had spent a lot of time in single player, and I threw one switch. Just like, oh, what's that do? Click. And I don't know.
You're
what
like
I did.
Baby Yoda and the Mandalorian.
Yeah,
dude.
Pretty much. And immediately just kick. Boom. Kick me right out of his game. So, yeah, don't go flipping switches.
So I built my drill. I fixed the drill, which is the end of the tutorial, I think. I burrowed underneath. I came out. I was gathering stuff like that. And then the volcano was going to go off again. And it was like, you know, find somewhere to hide. I was like, I'll just hide in my drill.
Mm-hmm.
No, that does not work, dude. Somehow the submarine is okay to be inside of, but your drill is not okay to be inside of. Maybe if you're underground, it's okay?
Yeah, if you go underground, you're completely safe.
Oh, okay. I stayed above ground, which was not the
yeah,
move.
You'll eventually get destroyed.
Oh, and I kept spawning in the lava and dying and dying and dying.
Yeah, it spawns you right back into the thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you go underground, you're pretty much safe, but then all your modules retract into your ship, and that's why you have the workbenches. So the workbenches you can use while you're underground, but your production hubs and like these other controls that kind of centralize your system and bring them all online so they're all interconnected. Like for instance, you can access storage from any compartment. All that only works when you're above ground. So you can do a lot more when you're above ground, but you're a lot safer when you are submerged.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Less robots too, or no robots.
Yeah, no robots down there when you're submerged. Now, and it's an interesting, I don't know, I want to give them credit because they do things differently in this game. Like they have the volcano that goes off every 20 minutes, and when it does, you have to submerge and stay safe, and then you come back up, and the world has changed, and things are different. Resources are in different areas, enemies are in different areas.
Yeah, because everything grows back, like every 20 minutes, right? Like the trees come back, the grass comes back.
Yeah, and at first it's all covered with ash, which is a really cool look, and that slowly dissipates. And yeah, and I like the idea of just drilling down into the ground. Like I haven't seen this done before. It seems like this could have easily been done on just like at sea with a ship, but I like the idea of keeping it on land. I mean, it's a cool concept, and it's still in early access, so I mean they could clean up a few things with the UI, which is what I kind of had a difficulty with. Feel like this would be outstanding in like a multiplayer or PvP type thing too. Like if you were in an open world and there were other people out there with their little drill ships and you had your drill ship, and because did you get to the point where you raided an enemy drill ship?
No.
Oh, see, that's pretty fun. I mean, obviously you're just going against the robots, but they have spawners inside the drill ships that keep spawning these things. So you have to fight your way through a wave that keeps coming at your ship, finally get to the drill ship, blow up those spawners, and then you have to just basically dismantle the ship. Just kill all the modules, and then you can mine it for whatever.
You get a bunch of shit, I would imagine.
Yeah, you get a lot of stuff, and you also get a very specific kind of resource that you need, like these ship parts that you use to upgrade your ship. So the whole raiding thing was pretty fun. I enjoyed that part too.
I think you're kind of talking about Last Oasis, basically. So you make your little ship, you know, that's that game, that MMO, where everybody stays alive in that small band of livable space that goes around the world. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You're basically a sand pirate, and then you can raid other people and grab their shit. Anyway, That's massively multiplayer, so I think that would be a lot of fun. Because on this, you know, let's say we went online, you take your ship in there. Who's to say that your ship is, or your drill isn't like way more powerful than everybody else's on the server or whatever? Mm-hmm. I don't know. They would have to work all that out.
Yeah, yeah, and you can keep extending your ship as well and make it longer up to a certain point. And that allows you to, of course, install more modules. I don't know. For some reason, I really like this game. It's just, it's very complicated. Like this,
maybe
this game.
That's why.
Yeah, there's a lot to, I think eventually when you get familiar with the game and after you've played it for a while, it doesn't seem nearly as bad. But yeah, this game is on sale right now, $14.99, typically $20. I'd say that's probably a decent price point for it.
Sniper was super excited to try this game. I want to play with Bobby and me, though. Is that too much to ask? Yeah, when you're out of town all week, dude, none of that shit's going to happen.
I would really like to play. I'm kind of upset that my single-player campaign, I can't open up so other people can play with me.
Yeah,
that's unfortunate. I have to start a whole new playthrough, but it would probably be best for other people who haven't played to start fresh with them. I'm definitely on board for playing a co-op game. You can play with up to, you can have four people in a group.
Did you see how crazy that drill looked, dude? It looked like a city almost. The one they, like, it's just so big.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can really
the ships
grow
are
these
very,
things.
Very, very big. The way they look almost reminds me of the end of Back to the Future 3 when Doc shows up in that big train that kind of flies in.
Yeah.
Like, except it's got a big drill on the nose. But I love the look of it. It's kind of steampunk, but it just reminds me of that train and also like Journey to the Center of the Earth. Like that idea of just digging deeper and deeper.
Yeah. It's funny because I played this game and I didn't like it, and now you're kind of selling on me on it, you know, because you played it more than I did. So,
yeah, I mean, it gives you stuff to do. What we're watching right now is a mission where you have to blow up a drill in the underground caves and you have to destroy each leg. So it's not just, it doesn't get too repetitive, because at least like there's like a single player playthrough where that gives you more and more stuff to do. You go deeper, the challenges get bigger. Yeah, I don't know. I liked it. It's just, it's kind of a steep learning curve for compared to a lot of other crafting survival games. This one, it has like a manufacturing, the whole crafting part can get very complicated. All right, let's talk about something a little less complicated though. Lego Ninjago movie video game.
Dude, that's the name, dude. And I think there's maybe they put that in there, movie video game, because there's a lot of cinematics and it does feel like a movie. So they gave this away for free. It was like a free for one day on Steam for no reason. It was just like, here you go. So I grabbed it, and the reason I grabbed it, we'll get into it later, but it's because Mila and I have been playing Star Wars Saga. I think that's what it's called. The Complete Saga.
Yeah.
But the Skywalker Saga is coming out, where it's going to be all 9 films, and they're going to be remastered and redid from all the way from episode 1 to episode 9 in one game.
Wow.
Yeah, I put it on the radar. But, yeah, so I was like, why are we going to keep playing? Even though she was having fun, I was like, let's play something a little more updated. So we got this for free. Dude, I was fucking blown away. The stark contrast between these old games from 15 years ago and this one. I know that I was expecting maybe just graphical, but it's better in every single way. There's progression. There's cinematic shots. There's voice acting. There was no voice acting.
Yeah, it was just always like, rah, 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 rah.
Yeah. There's voice acting with the same actors from the movie. There's the cutscenes are like Lego movie quality almost, you know, like incredibly good looking. So everything is obviously scripted, but the way that you like throw the Lego pieces together for what you need makes it feel like you have agency. Yeah, obviously it's scripted, but I don't know. You kind of feel like, oh, we really need something here. And then you fucking throw it together. You make the thing that you actually needed.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, it tricks you into thinking that you came up with the Lego piece.
Mm-hmm.
The graphics are fucking beautiful. Let's see. The one-liners are pretty funny. There was, you know, it's like a Pixar movie where like some of the jokes are in there for the adults, some are in there for the kids. Let's see. Oh, now it does split screen instead of having one screen, which was a huge problem with the old Star Wars saga. Mm-hmm. Like, we would kill each other all the time, especially because Mila has a different play style than me. She just wants to run through the story as fast as possible. I want to get all the nuggets everywhere.
So you share a screen until one person leaves
it? No, this is split all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel weird at all. Did it just fall?
Yeah, something fell.
And Jocko's all over it, fucking ghosts. Something just fell from a shelf. So where was I?
This kind of reminds me of when I played Jurassic Park, Lego, or Jurassic World. Like, this game, that was the first time I had played a Lego game, and I realized what they had turned into. Because, like you, I played, like, some of the old ones, the Harry Potter ones, and the Star Wars ones. And, yeah, they're pretty basic, they're enjoyable, and they're a nice way to relive the story in Lego form. But when I played Jurassic World, I was like, oh my God, this is like, you know, I have a save, I can leave levels and I can go out into this big open world and I can see my accomplishments here. And this is like so much bigger, and then I can play through each one. And they're using actual quotes, like actual voice lines from the movie. Yeah. Some of them didn't sound great. Like, there was still like the background noise in it. So it didn't quite sound right. But that was in 2015. When did this game come out? 2017.
Yeah. And like I was saying, I think they probably did it when did Ninjago come out? Like 2016, 2017? They might have done it at the same time just to save money, man. They probably had all the voice actors in there anyway. And so they probably just got it done.
Yeah, it came out 2017.
Yeah, so they got, it was made at the same time as the movie. It's just a few more lines. Why not? Just fucking blown away. It's $20. I think it's worth every penny, especially if you're going to play with a kid. 85% on Steam right now. And so I looked up Traveler's Tales Games. That's who makes it. And they make all of, like, basically what you're talking about, Bobby. It's all of the newer ones. Or I guess they do them all. It's always been the same ones. Anyway, I want to get into the the Marvel Heroes one, because I've heard it has like 300 characters, and they all have their own little mechanic. So that sounds super fun to me. And yeah, I'm actually getting, I almost want to play without Mila so I could like get all the fucking secrets and play it like a completionist, you know?
Yeah.
But I'll play this one how she wants to, and then I'll play the Marvel one on my own.
I've always wondered about this game, Lego Worlds. It was supposed to be like an open world one, and it got pretty poor reviews when it first came out. It just wasn't finished. Yeah, I think it might have even been in early access, but it looks good now. But yeah, it's surprising how good some of these Lego games have gotten.
Yeah.
Just everything that they add to it.
Yep.
All right, and you've been playing more Remnant from the Ashes?
Yeah, man, I'm not going to bore you guys too much with going over it, but this is the first Souls-like game that I've really got into. And like I said, it's not as hard as a Souls-like, a true Souls-like, because I feel like those are down to the millisecond sometimes on your reaction times. This has, it gives you a good leeway. I'm getting better and better at like dodging things. But the things that I want to talk about on this are twofold. The levels are kind of like Deep Rock Galactic, where, they're set pieces and they get put together in random assortments. So it's never the same twice, but you definitely see the same parts over and over.
Yeah.
And not nearly as much as Deep Rock Galactic. Like, Deep Rock has way more set pieces than this does. Like, you see the same things over and over. But mini bosses are random, which ones you're going to get. And the end boss for the realm is also a random. So it might be one of two bosses. Mm. So the reason you fight bosses, if you get a choice, is because they usually drop this unique item. You take it back to your engineer, and they make a gun or a weapon or something out of it. And so it's a random which mini bosses you're going to get and which end bosses you're going to get. So you really don't know what you're going to get. And these bad guys have multiple ways to kill them to get what you want from them. So there's a big dragon made out of like wood. If you shoot its tail off, if you focus on its tail the whole fight, it drops a thing that you can turn into a fiery sword. But if you shoot its head the whole time, then it drops a different piece that you can go turn into something else.
Does it tell you this before the fight?
No, you have to go and look this stuff up if you want. Okay. But if you don't, we've been getting some rare shit, just kind of like it just been happening, you know? Just because it's not that hard to do. Like the tree ant that I told you we shot its legs off.
Mm-hmm.
I was just shooting at the legs because it seemed like that's the way to do it. And it turned out that that was a certain way to get a certain thing that got me my favorite weapon, which is a hammer. What I'm saying about all this is every time you play through, you're going to get different weapons and upgrades. And it adds replay to the value to it. And you can play in a different mode called adventure mode, I think, or something like that, where it takes away the story. You could just kind of go where you want and fight all the, try to hunt down all the different options of the bosses. I think it puts them all in there. And then the other thing I want to talk about was the equipment. So, JP Diddy is playing a mid-range character. He tinkers a lot. Like, he's moving around his spells. Let's say every character gets two spells. It's not very much. Hmm. You build them up by using the weapon that it's on. It's called a weapon mod. He tinkers with that. He's switching out weapons all the time. He's trying to min-max and go just all damage, pretty much. No defense. And so he's switching out things constantly. Me, on the other hand, everything that I have on is the exact same equipment that I've started with at the beginning of the game. But I've just upgraded it to a point where, like, it's on par with his stuff. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So no matter what you really like, you don't ever have to get rid of it. You can just keep working on it, and it just keeps feeding more and more. And what I started with is so much into how I play the game, I don't want to get away from that. So it's working out perfectly for both of us. He wants to min-max, and I'm just trying to.
It allows you both to play the game the way you want to play it.
Yeah, and this game continues to not disappoint. The bosses are fucking super fun, very inventive. We fought this thing. I don't know what to call it. It's some sort of spirit beetle thing. And it has a mode. You wouldn't think that. think about it where you fight it, a figure eight, right? So it has land all the way around the one side, land all the way around that. And then the holes in the eight are actual holes. If you fall in there, you're done. There's no reviving. There's nothing. You're dead. There's a part in that fight where he flies up in the sky and he has clones of himself, and you have to run around and shoot the clones and try to figure out which one he is, right? It's something that's been done in bosses a lot of times. But the thing is, they're making you look up and run around. Mm-hmm. And these holes that no good player would ever fall in a hole, you end up falling in them all the time because they're making you look up while you're running around. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They're just constantly coming up with ways to make... I don't know. The bosses are super inventive.
Yeah. It's kind of like, pardon the dog barking there, guys.
Yeah.
But it reminds me of what you were saying last week, and it sounds like they've really constructed this game and the fights in a way where it's not staged. It's not like this has to happen, but they've designed it in a way where the player is going to play this particular way and going to face these certain challenges. Should we shut the door? I don't know if that's going to help.
I don't know if it's going to help. Let me lock him outside, I think.
All right.
Let me finish up on this. Did I talk about the fight? Yeah, I think I did. Where the guy was destroying his own room that you fight in. And that was part of the mechanic of the fight. That really impressed me, too. Like, he was knocking down the walls to try to slash at you. But his ads that he adds to are in the walls as well.
Okay.
So as he breaks down his own room, he's adding ads to the game. So it just added to the mechanics of the game, trying to get him not to destroy his own walls.
Yeah.
It's fucking really inventive, man. I'm really enjoying this game.
Sounds like a very well-designed game.
Super well-designed.
Yeah, pretty good reviews.
Do you got something you could talk about?
Yeah. All right. Well, Emilio is taking care of that. Let's just give a shout-out real quick. Thank you, Controlled Pairs, for your subscription, as well as Burn Division. Let me scroll back up here. Burn Division coming in at 11 months, almost a year, and Controlled Pairs 1 year, man. 1 year. Jeez. All right. And also, while we're thanking people, shout out, we got some new Patreons this week. Thank you so much, guys. Atrocious and Michael. Thank you very much. We're getting so close to the VR. And honestly, I'm glad Emilio's not here for this, but I'm actually a little excited about the VR. As we're getting close to it, I've been thinking about it, and I'm like, man, I actually do want to play some VR. All the time before this, I was just kind of like, you know what, whatever, it's cool. I've done it before. I've tried it out. I can't imagine myself playing it for any length of time, but I would enjoy getting into some VR now, setting it up. Although Half-Life Alyx still kind of, whatever about, but really want to play all the way through the Rick and Morty games. Well, I think there's just one of them, but he also does another one, Office something or other. But yeah, I think it's a great, I think VR is just great for puzzle games.
Is that any better?
Yeah, that's a lot better. So every little bit that you contribute on Patreon helps us get there. We are very close.
It's like $15 away, I think.
I think it's about, about 15 bucks.
Yep. Did you thank our new guys?
Yep.
Oh, sweet. Okay. Last thing I'm going to talk about is Dungeons and Dragons, like the real Dungeons and Dragons. I've been on a kick. I don't know. So I've never really played. I played one time with Zap. I think he DM'd a couple of us on like D&D Beyond or whatever that. There's like really, really good online things for playing D&D that are mostly free. And you just kind of play for the, you pay for the bells and whistles if you want to play. But it all started with that that one podcast, the Play Podcast, that's what they're called. When they play a game and you listen, basically. The one that I was talking about, fucking Adventure Zone. One of the greatest stories I've ever heard in my life, man. And it's a story that they made up on their on while they're playing this game of D&D, which very loosely played D&D. And that's, you know, once I finished with that, I got into probably the premier one. It's called Critical Role, where a bunch of voice actors play D&D. And of course, they're awesome because, you know, they do this for a living. So they can really add a lot of variety to D&D. And surprisingly, I don't play D&D. And I haven't really, I don't know how to do it, stuff like that. So I was like, I'm just going to fucking dive in. I'm going to see what I can do. And for some reason, Sam's been somewhat interested in D&D, even though she has no nerdiness in her whatsoever, really. And Mila's down for whatever. So I'm like, you know, I'm just going to DM them. What's the worst that can happen? I waste a couple hours of our time. So I bought the Roll 20. Yeah, Atrocious. That's the one. That's the one where you can play for free, and there's a lot of... You could just go and play, pretty much.
Roll 20 is a website?
It's a website, yeah.
Okay.
So I bought the Essentials Kit, and it's 15 bucks, and basically you have everything you need to play a DM plus 1 to 5 players, so up to 6 players total, through their first adventure. And not just adventure, but you could keep going up until like level 6 or 7 or 8 or something like that. I don't know. There's a lot here. I think you might be able to like level up to 10 or something and like eventually fight a dragon. But there's a bunch of quests in here and a bit general layout. It was obvious that like it was my first time DMing. I didn't even know how to set the stage, and I realized that as I was setting the stage of, like, where we are and what you're doing. And so they didn't go the way that I wanted them to go, and so I just had whoever they talked to there, which was me, obviously. As a DM, you're every character they ever run to plus every bad guy they ever run into. So you're wearing multiple hats. You're basically the referee. It's not you against them. It's you trying to have them have the most fun. But the book will tell you, like, if you don't know what it is, just make it up and just try it. If you're wondering about a rule, just do what seems fair and then find out the rule after the game and come back with the actual ruling. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like you're there to make them have fun. So they went somewhere I didn't expect them to go. So I had just had the first person they walked into tell them to go where, like, no, there's no work here. You go over there. So they went over to the guy who had the actual quest, gave him a quest, took him to a place. And, you know, D&D says 12 and up and Mila's 8. So I thought we were going to run into some issues, but, you know, with her mom on her side, and she was actually super creative one time, dude. She came up with, like, this attack that was, you know, that's what D&D is about. Like, it's limited by your imagination. You can do anything, like, literally anything. You could just, you know, if you're in a bar setting, you can just go and slap the bartender and just see where that takes you, or jump on a table and start dancing and see where that takes you. Anything. Take a shit on the floor. It's up to the DMV. Everybody shits on the floor at the DMV, dude. It's obvious.
It's because they've been waiting so long.
It's up to the DM to decide what's going to happen once you take a shit on the floor. But, you know, I think we had a good time. Everybody seemed to be having a good time. We started the game a little late, and plus I was slow to look up rules and stuff. But I feel like everybody had a good time, and we'd be definitely playing it again. It's like better than playing Monopoly. That's for damn sure.
I worry. I have not played Dungeons & Dragons online before, but I worry it wouldn't have the same, I don't know, that same feeling you get when you play in person with people.
Yeah, well, you get a lot of tools, right? So if you're in person and you have everything, that means you have like this like dungeon that you can put together with paper and then like have little characters, and then you can see line of sight and all of that stuff. So it takes away the imagination part of it. But online, all that stuff's just there. So you can see roughly the terrain. Like it takes a lot of weight off of the DM explaining everything, and a lot of back and forth of questions. Yeah, like, hey, would I be able to do this? Well, would you be able to? Look, there's a rock right in front of you, dude. So there's it cuts down a lot of time online, I feel like.
Yeah. Hector wants to know how you first got into D&D. Is that, well, you talked about the podcast, but that wasn't your first introduction to it, right?
Yeah, just that one time that we played with, I played online with Tagloro, not kind of a big deal.
I mean, if you hang out with nerds, eventually you're going to play some D&D. That's just, you know, it's going to happen.
I'm just way into it, man.
Yeah, that's cool. It's just, you know, it takes a lot of time. It's a commitment, and it feels like it's something that can't really be broken up, which is really hard for adults to do, I feel like. So, yeah. I don't know. It can be tougher when you grow up to play D&D.
Yeah, I mean, if you do a two-hour session, which is kind of like watching a movie, but you're doing it with your friends, you know, once a week, it's not crazy.
Yeah. Plus, you know, when you're young, you got that child's imagination. But it really is the source. You know, so many things, so many games that we play are based on D&D, like every RPG ever.
Dude, it's... know? Riddled, like everything we play is just based on D&D.
It is basically the foundation of so much. So when you play it, you kind of realize, oh, this is the source, and you see why it's so addictive and so enjoyable.
So just to give you an idea of like a child's creativity, they fought a slime, and the slime was in this super dark cave, and Mila was playing a bard, and she had already summoned these lights. That's her, one of her only spells. She has these lights that she can control wherever they go. So the slime gets to jump on them. And she decided to make the lights swirl around the slime to distract it. And I was thinking, while this thing lives in the darkness, it's probably not used to like bright lights. This is going to distract the fuck out of it. So I gave it disadvantage for the next two runs, which means, you know, much harder for it to do things. And that was completely out of no feeding her information whatsoever. I was fucking blown away, man.
Yeah, it's nice when a game gives you the opportunity to do whatever you want to do. I mean, I remember having that experience with old games like the Leisure Suit Larry games and Zork, where you had to type in what you wanted to do. And it was so incredible because especially Leisure Suit Larry, right? Because what is any young boy going to type in there? And of course, they would have these automated responses for that, but it was just so crazy that I could literally type anything and the computer would figure it out and respond appropriately.
Bobby, what happened with that game?
Or give you a syntax error.
What happened with that game that we talked about that like the game builds itself as you play? It's like a Zork game, but there's
IO Dungeon.
Yeah, something like that.
AI Dungeon 2. Yeah.
Got to try that out, man.
Yeah, I have not got around to that. I think it was like you couldn't download it, or there was some reason I couldn't get a hold of it. But yeah, I got to look back into that. All right.
Clown Lucian says, I just created a Roll20 account. I'm definitely not getting any pussy now. bad DM. Yeah. So I think some people are, I enjoy DMing a lot, actually. So
oh, yeah.
Maybe I'll get better at it.
I feel like you got to be a good storyteller. I don't know if we're the best to be talking about D&D, though, given our limited history with it. It's kind of one of those things where we talk about it, and it's like, I'm sure people are just, they're just wanting to weigh in. In fact, I think we've got someone here who wants to wants to talk about it. We'll give him a second to get ready here. But is it time for like a DLG night? Like, is that something we need to put together?
Are you talking to me? I don't know.
I'm sorry. A D&D DLG night.
Oh, would you play?
I would. Yeah, I'd be down for that.
So character creation is like, it's really complicated. Yeah. That's what was breaking my brain. But people love to roll characters. What goes into it is, you know, you could lie and just make a perfect character and you'll never have any fun because you're never going to have any flaws. You'll just win every fight. It's mm-hmm. not cool. But if you put, the whole idea is it that you put flaws into your character and that affects their traits, but they also have attributes like mm-hmm. not just he's really strong. We'll be like, oh, he's an ex-soldier, so he knows how to fight a little bit better. So how can we weave his story into his stats? Mm-hmm. And that's what, I mean, you don't have to do this, but it makes your character deeper and deeper. So you give him flaws and you give him bonds and you give him ideals. And that helps you RP, role play for the uninitiated, your character a lot better. Cause you're like, what would I do here? And like, oh no, not what I would do. What would Billy the Knight do?
Yeah.
I said here that he's fucking an asshole. So he's going to do the asshole move.
Billy the Knight.
Yeah.
All right.
That sounds good, right?
Yeah. He was part of that round table crew with Arthur. Billy the Knight. Yeah. I'd be down to check that out.
Cool, man.
All right. We got Atrocious on the line here. He's going to talk to us about playing D&D online. So what's the deal with online? Is it not as good as in person?
Hey guys, it's actually I actually started a few months ago playing on Roll20 on that website. I'm playing with work buddies from Europe actually, so we're far away, but we just get on a Zoom call with video, and it's like I have on one screen we're all there looking at each other and we're playing, man. So it feels actually I've never played in person. This is my first. I've always been interested in D&D, but I've been playing now for 2 months. We play 3 hours every Sunday, and it's actually pretty cool, man.
Yeah,
it's,
I bet
it's pretty fun.
I bet that's pretty cool. And the other thing, Bobby, is like you cut out the time of driving over and getting together and like mm-hmm. sitting down and all that stuff. You're just there, you know.
Yeah,
and it's super easy. And
what kind of character did you make?
I made a half-orc paladin.
Ooh. That's a
yeah, man. It's and that's the thing. Like what you were mentioning, Emilio, that it's up to your imagination. Like it doesn't have to be boring stuff. It's like we can get to do stupid stuff all the time. Like you on one of our sessions, we killed some guy and we had to move the corpse out of the bar. And so one of the other guys peed on the corpse and threw beer on him. So people thought that he was wasted. You get to do stupid stuff like that. It's super
That's cool,
fun.
Man. That's so funny. So Bobby, like on something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Me as a DM, I would say, okay, you got to roll a deception check, right? So whoever came up with the idea would roll the deception. They have a number for deception and they would roll it. And then based mm-hmm. on my mind, how likely is it that this guy died of drinking or whatever, right? So I would make it higher or lower based on what I think, how hard that would be to pull mm-hmm. off, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool, man. How long have you been listening to the podcast?
Well, I've been since the very beginning. Like I stopped for a while because I kind of dropped off listening to podcast in general because of work. But yeah, I've been listening since you guys started, like a few months after you guys started.
Shit, man. I appreciate it.
A while, man. Yeah. Actually, I've been listening to your old episodes because I recently got into a Deep Rock Galactic. So I wanted to listen to your thoughts when you first started. So yeah, that's been fun going back.
Was it hard to find the first Deep Rock Galactic episodes?
Not really. I use Podcast Addict. I think it's called the podcast app I use, and it's super simple.
So you just looked for keywords and all our episodes?
Yeah, I just looked for Deep Rock Galactic, and all your episodes that you mentioned it appear there. So
man,
it's super
that's
easy,
awesome.
Actually.
Cool. Yeah, man. that's so cool to do it that way because it's like... as the game has evolved, our opinions have evolved, and you got to listen to all of that. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool because earlier today, I was listening to the one where Bobby first started playing it. So that was a few years ago. And today I played with Bobby a little while ago before the podcast. And obviously he's super high level and different. His opinions have changed. But yeah, that was pretty fun to see.
There's a couple episodes where Bobby waxed poetic about like why it was so good, and I was like a schoolgirl, dude. I was like, oh my god, he fucking nailed it, so good, you know.
Yeah, man.
It's a great game, man. I'm having a great time playing, so that has
been it's
fun.
Super fun. All I've been playing lately is Deep Rock Galactic and Remnant, so it's cool that to see that you liked it.
So what do you think of Remnant then?
I liked it, man. I blew through the campaign, the co-op with a buddy in a few days, actually. And we've been playing we got the DLC. I don't know if you've read about it or you got it. The DLC is basically everything's procedurally generated, like sort of, right? When you start your campaign, it creates a world. But the DLC, it's like a survival mode, kind of like a roguelike. More or less, like you start a character from level one, you get a certain amount of cash where you can, like 2,000 credits, for example, something like that. There's random weapons you can buy that limited a number of armor or items, and you get random traits when you're fighting. Random weapons drop, and it's pretty cool to see how far you get. Like
that sounds
I've
awesome.
Gotten like four bosses in.
So did you like the DLC more than the first game, or they're both their own separate things?
Yeah, like, I mean, the first game, it's like a campaign, like a normal campaign, like with story and stuff. But once you play through that, you get your other gear sets, you get the build you wanted to play. It's awesome to have the option to start a new character from scratch and get like kind of like Isaac, more or less, like see what weapons you get on that run. Maybe you get lucky, you get.
Yeah,
you get it,
that sounds
really
awesome, dude. It's funny because I went to go buy it today. I was going to buy it, but the only reason I didn't was I was playing at the time, and it was like maybe I'll buy it before I play again. But like I saw the reviews, it's at 55% for the DLC, and I was like, what is going on here? But I didn't have a chance to read the reviews. But just based on what you just said, dude, it's already bought.
Yeah, man. I haven't seen. I think there's more content. There's another zone that has a story and stuff that apparently wasn't finished when on the original campaign, like one of the maps or whatever, one of the zones. So they like finished it for the DLC, and you get bosses and story for that part. I haven't played through that. I've just played through the survival part, but that's super fun, man. You're gonna like it.
So we had a lot of trouble with the first like three bosses, but now the last four bosses, we just blew through them. Did you have the same feeling?
Yeah, actually, yeah, man. The tree, that one you were mentioning, he destroyed us at first. Or I know there's this bug boss that divides in two. I don't know if you fought it.
Yeah, that was today or last night.
Yeah, and that bug boss, that was super hard at first. But now that I've played through it a bunch, like online with my friends, and it gets easier once you get your build set up right. And but yeah, that bug boss, if you defeat just one before the other, you get a certain loot. If you defeat them both at the same time, you get a different loot. Kind
yeah,
of
we
like
did
tree,
that one.
Like,
we killed them at the same time. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, man.
So what was I going to tell you? Okay, last thing. On Roll 20, have you spent any money? And if not, what is there to buy that you have thought about spending money on?
I haven't spent a cent, man. I've just been, I just log in and play. But the DM is this Dutch guy from work. He bought every book. Like, apparently you can buy the packs, the D&D books that you can buy in physical form, you can buy them on Roll20 too. Like, I think he spent like a bunch of money on there, like map packs and all the rule books and stuff. But if just one person actually has to have those, and he can share it with everyone.
Now, why are you running Zoom on the side? Doesn't it have its own video function within it?
I think it does, but I don't think it's very good.
Like, gotcha.
It's easier with the Zoom.
Gotcha. Okay, man. Cool. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah, call in.
We should set up a DL.
I think so.
Dungeons and Dragons game, especially if someone has experience DMing, because that's the hard part actually. Because for the players, you don't need experience. You don't need to even understand very well the rules. You can learn as you go.
Yeah, 8-year-old just played.
Yeah, man. I had never played before, and it's been a blast.
Bobby heard Paladin, and his dick is hard. I'm telling you. He plays Paladin and everything.
Although I hear they can't wear the Helm of Disintegration.
Yeah.
All right, dude.
Also, that's the thing. It depends on the DM. The DM can be super loose. So
yeah,
you don't even have to follow the rules. Yeah. Man.
Well, we'll put out a call. Any DMs out there who want to do it, I'm down.
There it is.
Awesome, guys. Nice talking to you.
All right, you too, man. Have a good one.
All right. Take care.
Awesome. So I like the idea that he's using Zoom, though, because that visual aspect to it. Yeah, I was thinking.
Well, this has it built in, but yeah, apparently
but
the bit rate's probably not very good.
Yeah, those look like very small icons. I did an interview that was posted last Friday, interviewed Ryan Sumo, who made Academia School Simulator.
I like that he was talking business. I like the hearing about the business side of stuff.
Yeah. Well, it was really interesting how he started out as just the art guy, for Prison Architect. It's like, hey, we like your art. Can you do the art? And now he's he must have learned something along the way, because now he started his own studio. But when we first started, he had said, okay, are we doing video? And I said, oh, no, it's just audio. But it got me thinking, like, man, maybe these interviews would be different. Like, that's a whole different vibe when you're on a video chat with someone as opposed to just strictly audio. So I don't know. Maybe something to consider for future interviews.
It always gets awkward when it starts skipping, though. Especially he's in the Philippines, dude. Like,
oh, that's true. Yeah, internet was not great out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, Roll20, this website, I just saw their icon. I totally recognize them. They sponsored a team in HGC, Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I've totally seen that logo. They sponsored a team for them for a while. But yeah, that sounds cool, man. If anybody is interested in being a DM and you got some crazy DM skills, then hit us up and we'll start putting something together. Because, I mean, we're still pretty much all at home anyway right now, right?
I wish I was, dude. But yes.
All right. Well, let's move to On the Radar, games that have come to our attention recently, games both old and new. The first one is called Paralives. It's kind of a weird name. Paralives. This game looks like SimCity. It looks like somebody was like, you know what? SimCity's good, but I could do it better.
Or The Sims, right?
Yeah, you're right. I totally butchered that. Yeah. The Sims.
Yeah.
So you create a place for people to live in. You control their behaviors to a certain degree. You customize the character, and then you kind of watch them play out their lives like a little ant farm.
Graphics are nice.
The graphics look pretty good. This game, as it's showing right now on screen, if you're watching, it lets you adjust everything. It lets
even the handles on the drawers.
Yeah, the handles on the drawers, the height of or the length of a desk, the height of a shelf you put, it almost looks like AutoCAD. I don't know if that's still a valid reference. I don't know what people are still using.
Okay.
AutoCAD, Revit, whatever 3D engineering program you're using out there.
And move your butt around all kinds of ways.
There's a slider for a butt. You can adjust every little detail, like your countertops. It seems very ambitious. This game does not have a release date, does not have a price. They do have a Steam page, but I like the idea because The Sims, I haven't played one in a while. The last one I played was 4, and it was a while ago. But they kind of litter you with DLC, and there are little things where I feel like this could be better. Like little things here and there, I'm just like, this could be better. I would be excited to see somebody else step in and try to make their own Sims game, because they've pretty much had the monopoly on it. This is made by someone named Alex Mass. But it seems like just one guy. There's no developer name or company, just one person.
Does seem ambitious, man. It almost looks like, yeah, development tools almost, right?
Yeah.
For games. I like the architecture part of it. Like, I would love, like, that looks like a super dope apartment.
Yeah.
I would love to make the apartment and then maybe have Sam fucking decorate it or something. I don't know. Or Mila.
It really seems like
rainbow everything.
There's so many options here. It really seems like you could create your dream apartment. Mm-hmm. You know what's sad is I would probably just recreate my exact condo and just like somebody who looks like me and just watch that person do whatever they do.
With no changes whatsoever.
Just see my exact life play out, but in a video game. That is a cool loft, though. That is awesome. The screenshots of this game really interest me, but it seems like there's not really an... I have no idea when this game would be ready to play. It seems far off.
Sniper's fucking fired up, dude. What? No. The Sims? You fuck. No innovation and money, money, money for DLC. $500 worth of DLC. And that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got a ridiculous amount of DLC. It's very expensive. And not only that, it's not very clear what exactly you get.
Yeah.
It's like the Cool Knights DLC pack. Like, what does that entail? They got a few screenshots.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, can I go?
Summertime DLC.
Yeah, like summertime DLC. And yeah, it's
$47.
And all the EA games are on EA, or I'm sorry, all the Sim games are on EA, right?
Yeah.
They got a few Premier on Steam, but I don't know, maybe you had to have gotten those beforehand.
I played one Sim game for 4 hours, I think, where the homework was, Bobby. What was homework? 2 hours?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I put myself, one overweight Mexican guy, in a neighborhood full of models. It was kind of fun, I guess.
I've been out that fantasy.
Yep.
All right, the next game is one we all know, Golf with Your Friends. So this has reached 1.0. They have changed the title from Golf with Friends to Golf with Your Friends. A little more clear there. I looked through the release notes, and nothing too big on the 1.0 release. Just a lot of small stuff, you know, a lot of quality of life.
Except for volcanoes, dude.
Well, there were some maps, like a whole map pack they added that is like a crossover from a game called The Escapists.
Oh, yeah.
Both sounds and visuals from that game, which is really cool. But yeah, the game that we play all the time is now finally 1.0.
Did they raise the price, Bobby?
They said they were going to freeze the price for now. They had a note about that. I read it briefly.
Oh, it did go up. I remember this game being $7 a lot. And now it's 10.
Yeah, it was $6.99. I think they froze it like when it first hit 1.0 for a little while, and then...
But it's worth $10.
Yeah, they raised it a couple bucks.
Yeah.
The hours of enjoyment that we have gotten out of this game, like the fellowship we have had in the DLG community over
the fellowship of the ball.
Over golf with your friends. Like, you can't put a price on that.
Yeah, it's good shit. I mean, you can. It's $10. But
yeah,
these guys did. They had the audacity to put price on friendship.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, so quick shout out to them. Pick that game up if you don't already have it.
I wonder if all those maps I just saw, so I've never seen any of those maps that were in the video. Mm-hmm. I wonder if those are built in or those are mods that they wanted to feature.
I bet they come with.
I feel like they do.
Yeah. I'm sure they come with the game.
It's time to play. So we're going to play D&D mini golf at the same time. We're going to role play mini golfers. We're going to get all this done this week. No problem.
All right. Next up, Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga.
So we talked about it earlier. I believe they're completely revamping the entire series. So all the way from episode 1 to episode 9 is going to be done in the new style of awesomeness, hopefully. I don't know if the first, like the older games are just going to get an HD pack. I hope they're getting rebuilt from the ground up. But I guess we'll see when this comes out. But it's 2020. It should be coming out. But who knows with the COVID. But it looks great. Hmm. I mean, and now I'm becoming bigger and bigger of a fan of Lego.
Yeah, they really draw you in. I'm telling you, like Jurassic World, I still want to go back to that. I really enjoyed what they've done. But this would be perfect, man. The Skywalker Saga. Hopefully they abbreviate it a little bit so you don't spend so much time in each one that it's not like nine separate games.
Well, the way that the Star Wars Saga one works, the complete saga, you can go wherever you want. Like, it doesn't matter. You can just jump to episode 6 if you want, or go do episode 1.
Well, the Jurassic World one, I think it took maybe a couple hours for each movie, because they had Jurassic Park, they had Lost World.
I feel that's about right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to make a Mandalorian Lego game. It seems like they would need more episodes of that, more content. They did make a Clone Wars game, which is great, and it follows a lot of the storylines that the Clone Wars...
I've been wanting to ask you this. Have you watched them all?
Like, no, I watched them about like 10 years ago when they were coming out quite a bit. I watched like the first 3 seasons. Okay. I tried to go back, and it's for kids. It's really hard for me to pay attention.
Okay. Do you know that they made a final season?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and it's a big deal, and there's lots of reveals and stuff. And
yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's a lot to watch because there's, what, 7 seasons, 8 seasons?
I think seven. Yeah. And the other thing I was going to ask you is, did you know that every episode of The Mandalorian had a different director?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had the behind the scenes.
Yeah, the round table. Did you watch that thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Did you like it?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah. I got to watch the other ones. I've only watched the director one. Mm. But I was surprised to see George Lucas on set. I don't know why. I'm sure he's still very involved in anything Star Wars that's being made.
It's weird, though. Like, what? Like, okay, so you sell your company, you sell the rights, you sell the IP.
Mm-hmm.
I know you have the right. It doesn't, like, if I was him, I would just walk through the studio anytime I want. It doesn't matter. But legally, like, is there something in the contract where, like, he has creative input, maybe, or something?
I mean, I don't know legally, yes or no, but I'm
contractually,
sure,
I mean?
I don't know. I'm sure, like, his input really matters.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, that one director, the one that came from... the Clone Wars cartoon.
Yeah, the animator.
Yeah.
Can't remember his name.
When he did his first Mandalorian episode, that was his first live action thing ever, I believe. Is that right? I think so.
Live action? Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah. So it was interesting for him. Definitely super interesting for him. But he was talking about meeting George for the first time and just fucking geeking out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good behind the scenes stuff there. Okay. Next game, Gunfire Reborn.
Yeah, I'm glad that Shadow Master's back because he finds these fucking gems, or it looks like a gem to me. It's a 94% on Steam with only, it has under 200 reviews, but still, 94 is pretty good. It might be them and all their cousins that reviewed it, but it looks good. It's a 4-player co-op if you want it to be. It can also be single player. It's a first-person adventure RPG roguelike. So that's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah.
The graphics is, cel shaded, looks like a cartoon or a comic book. Looks really cartoony, but very good as well. When I was watching it, it seemed like a Borderlands meets Binding of Isaac. Like, you're definitely, it's randomly generated. The levels are randomly generated. The loot is randomly generated. And just try to see how far you can get. The RPG part of it, I don't know how, I assume that the RPG is that your progression is persistent. So you'll probably hold on to whatever you spec into for future runs.
Yeah, maybe there's upgrades or a currency that you can take when you eventually fail. You take that currency, you buy upgrades, and you do better your next run.
Yeah, so I think it looks great. This is probably it was cheap too. It was like $10 probably.
Yeah, it's not much. Let's see. Yeah, when I looked at it, it reminded me a lot of Immortal Redneck, which is that same concept, the first person shooter,
roguelike.
So it is $10.43 on sale right now, typically $12.
Yeah, if I remember after the show, this is pretty much bought. A 4-player co-op, though.
I like the co-op idea. That I don't know if I've ever seen a game quite... Because Immortal Redneck, there was another one that does basically the same thing. Ziggurat, different kind of setting. Does essentially the same thing, but does that first-person shooter roguelike. But the co-op aspect, that's really cool. And as we're watching this stream right here, it looks like there's a revive mechanic. So if somebody does die, as long as everybody doesn't die, then one person's alive to revive them. then you're okay.
Oh, we're watching a live stream right now, which is great that they do it this way, because you really get a feel for the game as opposed to what the developers wanted you to see. Yeah, there's a little shop. You take the coins you picked up, you go over to the shop. Yeah, it's a lot of roguelike here. I'm super digging this.
Gunfire Reborn.
Yep.
Yeah, looks good.
All right. Gaming bump, guys. Pick it up. I'm sure we'll play it together.
Last game that we're going to talk about is Hunt Down.
Yeah, so this looks, is it from, can you click on, I didn't look it up, developer, is it Easy Trigger Games? Is that the same people that did Broforce? Because it looks so similar.
It does look very similar. Let's click on it and find out. Nope.
Nope, this is their only game. So if you've ever seen Broforce, that's what it looks like. It looks like a pixel graphics, really good pixel graphics, a side-scroller shooter. Cyberpunky kind of stuff. Anyway, I really love the presentation. Bobby, can you click on the trailer and turn up the sound? I thought it was, I really like the presentation here.
Okay, from the beginning?
No, click on the trailer part.
Oh, okay. Here.
Yeah, and I have it queued up at a certain part. You know what I'm saying? Hunt Down trailer, right, there you go.
All right, let me bring it up here. While I'm doing this, let me point out that this is published by Coffee Stain Studios, same publishers of Deep Rock Galactic. So it's got to be good.
It's got to be good.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
When the citizens are in trouble, they call the authorities. When the authorities are in trouble, they call the bounty hunters.
Showtime!
Anaconda. She knows the meaning of life.
Ha, ha, ha.
That's why she can take it away so easily.
I'll blow your head off!
Her jacket size says 38. Special. And her favorite smell is fear.
Die!
I just love how over the top and like...
Yeah,
that's... Oh, this guy, it says, he's been a man since he was a child. Everything he owns is metal. It's just, I don't know. I love the production values on this.
Yeah, they nailed the tone.
Yeah, for sure. Whether or not the game is fun, I can't tell you. It's not out yet. But
it's got a release date, May 12th, 2021. Almost a year out.
Yeah, a year out. Man, that's a long ways away.
Yeah, that is a ways away, but it looks like... They've got a lot of information about this game. If you check out the Steam page, it looks like they know what they're doing. Like, this isn't people just kind of like, it'll be done when it's done. Like, they have a plan.
It looks done to me from the, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It does very much look like Broforce.
Yeah. Even the font.
All right. That is it for On the Radar. Time to talk a little news here. Only one article. Thought this was worth bringing up. G2A is back in the news. I think there was even some discussion on our Discord about it as well. This article is from Gama Sutra. G2A to pay Factorio dev $39,600 after allowing illegal game key sales.
I remember them taking them to court. Like 2 years ago, man. The fucking court shit takes so long, especially since G2A, I don't think, is an American company. So you got whatever international courts or whatever. What a nightmare, man. I feel like they spent way more than $40,000 on fucking lawyers. Don't you think?
Yeah, who knows? But it's probably the principle of the thing. Yeah. So there's a history to this. G2A has long been this website that has been...
Gray market.
It's a gray market.
Dark gray market.
You can buy keys on it. A lot of developers have said, like, those are stolen keys. And G2A has kind of snidely rebuked those claims. But they put out kind of this smug ultimatum, I guess, where they said, okay, if you can prove that these games are stolen, then we'll pay you whatever whatever was stolen. Like, we'll cover the cost. This happened about a year ago. So I think it's Woob Software is the Factorio developer. They were able to do that without, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, they were able to prove that, yes, in fact, you are selling stolen keys of our game. And the bill is about $40,000.
Damn.
So
They did an AMA on Reddit like 2 years ago, and that G2A that kind of like made me think that they were on the, at least they were trying to be on the up and up. It seemed like it's kind of like this thing where, like back in the day when Napster was coming out, it's like, hey, we're not stealing the shit. We're just letting people trade what's already been stolen.
They're the middleman.
Yeah.
And they've also said, like, if we weren't doing it, someone else would be doing it. You know, a lot of the typical excuses. Now, I've actually used G2A a lot in the past, both for selling and buying games. I don't anymore because it's just not great for the industry. And also because it's not really worth the time. Like, it's a real roundabout way that you have to go about selling games. I used to buy a lot of bundles. I'd have extra keys and I would just sell the extra ones on there. And it's a lot of work for very little money. It just wasn't worth it. And also buying games on it. I bought, what was it? Grand Theft Auto 5 on this, on G2A. I had it for about a month, played it. Yeah, had a good time, was kind of over it. One day I got a notification from Steam saying, guess what? This game is going to be revoked because it was purchased illegally or something like that. I've had other issues with them in the past. I've got a hold of their customer support. They've always eventually refunded me my money and made everything right, but it's always taken some time. But it's just a headache to save a few bucks. And really, time is money when you get older. So it's like, why not just spend a little bit of extra money and not have to deal with any of the issues, just to have everything work? That on top of the fact that it's just not great. You know, all the devs in the world are just saying like, nope, this site is terrible for us. So it's not great for the industry. So I don't really feel right. There's a bit of a moral problem with it.
And there's the other thing where like, I'll just buy things on Steam just because it's on Steam, even though if I'm going to pay $5 more a lot of the times, just because you're getting the Steam ecosystem. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, a lot of these keys will activate on Steam.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Let's see. We've got Nick on the line here. He wants to talk to us about G2A.
Hey, Nick, calling in. Where are you calling from?
Fucking Georgia. How you guys been?
Georgia. Haven't been there in a while. Pretty sure that's right. Never mind.
You've been doing pretty good. Yeah, I was going to ask you guys, do you guys know how G2A, Kinguin, and all them primarily get their keys?
Well, they never own them, right? Aren't they facilitating peer-to-peer sales?
Yeah, but there are keys that you can supposedly buy directly from G2A, or at least they're like kind of authorized by them. They vouch for them. And I used to know this answer. Why don't you enlighten us?
So G2A especially is probably the most reliable site. Kinguin is actually like a really, really, really shady site. I don't want to, you know, put down certain sites, but Kinguin, G2A.
This show's brought to you by Kinguin, by the way. This got really, no, I'm kidding.
No, G2A does primarily, or not, I shouldn't say primarily, gets a lot of their keys from developers. They make, you know, they buy batch 1,000, 2,000 keys, and that's how they get their, until they get the most of their keys. However, the bulk of these keys, especially on the shadier websites, the ones that you get from Deal Shark or Is There a Deal and stuff like that, is that people that commit identity theft online will buy multiple copies on like from the developers. And then what ends up happening is they'll buy 1,000 copies. The purchase will go through. They'll send the keys to Kinguin. And then what ends up happening is the person that they stole their credit card from will dispute the charges, and the developer makes no money, but Kinguin or G2A or one of the websites does.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's exactly how a lot of this happens. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean,
so that explains why the developers have such an issue.
Yeah, with for
sites
sure.
Like these.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the primary way. The reason I know this is that I actually know someone who was involved with this scam that got sued. So one of my old coworkers, when I lived in Livermore, he got his credit card stolen from one of these websites, and they purchased, I think it was 30 copies of Total War Warhammer 1 when it first came out. And Kinguin doesn't give a shit if they sell it and the developer gives money, or G2A or any of the key websites don't give a shit if the developer's getting money from it, because they're just getting everything and then they know it's going to be disputed, and everything just rolls out the way they see it fit.
Yeah. But it's interesting that the developer can't cancel those codes at that point.
Yeah, that's the hard thing about physical
versus digital.
Yeah, like versus digital codes. Once they're generated, they're generated.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. So did you hear that little story I told about you, like hovering you above your sister and your brother, seeing who you spit on? Were you still around for that?
Yes, episode? I did. And I told Leslie about it.
Yeah, that was really fun. You slobbered on all of us, dude. But yeah,
I was gonna bring that up when for Thanksgiving or Christmas, whatever I go back for this year.
So Nick, you were a big console player all throughout your life, and then what made you make the jump, other than adoring your uncle and wanting to do everything that he does?
What it was is that I established a role as Dick Nick for the podcast ages ago.
Yeah,
back in early, no, I'm just kidding. No, what it was is that a lot of my friends were playing WoW. I wanted to play WoW, and so I started playing more and more games. Things were cheaper. We started playing games. I think the ultimate, like, jump into the gaming PC world where I, like, spent $3,000 on a computer and everything, believe it or not, is PUBG.
Yeah. No, a lot of people, dude. That was huge. For sure.
I had a decent computer. It was like a gaming laptop that I got for a killer deal. But once PUBG came out, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it all. And I built a computer, and I've just been playing that primarily. I still play all the exclusives. You know, when The Last of Us comes out, I'm going to play that.
Yeah, of course. And like God of War.
Yeah. I have a God of War tattoo, for Christ's sake. Yeah. That's the first game that me and Leslie played all the way through.
You have a lot of gaming tattoos. What are the other ones?
I got an Akuma and M. Bison tattoo. I have a Game of Thrones tattoo. I have a...
Ooh, was that before season 8?
No, it's actually the end of season 8.
What is it?
It's a hound tattoo. It's the hound's helmet from the beginning of the show where he wears it, and it's like that weird looking helmet that looks like a dog's head. Hmm. And it's on top of his Dragonstone axe. So it's kind of like a start to end kind of thing.
Oh, cool.
He's my favorite character.
Yeah, he was a very cool character.
A Magic the Gathering tattoo and a Solid Snake tattoo.
Good thing you're a big boy. You got a lot of room, dude.
Oh, it's the best.
Oh my God. I'm getting a giant canvas.
One in 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
What?
I'm getting another one. I'm getting a Master Roshi tattoo from Dragon Ball Z.
You're crazy. All right, dude, you want to talk about D&D? What do you got?
If you guys want to have a DM and you guys want to do... Do want to play online and you guys can stream it. I have over 150 hours DMing online.
I've never heard about this. I think you're lying straight to our faces.
No, I use D&D Beyond and I use Roll20. I create the maps myself. There's a website that you can use to create maps, big and small. I make all the unit portraits. I bind all the stats to all the actual characters. So what's cool is when you come back and you play, all your stats, your health, everything, your level is tied to your little token that you're given.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty cool.
Well, that sounds pretty fucking cool.
Hmm. Yeah.
We'll talk about it after the podcast.
Sounds good.
All right, man. Yep. Thanks for saying that you'll do it, especially since you're so fucking bored right now, right?
Oh, dude, out of my mind. I'm painting Warhammer figures. I have to occupy my time with
painting figurines.
Yeah.
Hey, they came out pretty good from what I saw.
Oh, yeah. No, I got a tank coming in tomorrow. I got a fucking paint.
I couldn't care less. All right. Talk to you later, man.
All right. Thanks, Nick. All right.
See you, Bobby. See you, Emilio. Have a good
Bye.
Night. All right. Sounds like this DLG D&D night's coming together.
Real quick.
All right, that's it for news, guys. We're going to move to the segment where I try Mexican candy in quotes.
Don't read the Lucas. I've been trying to give you this for 2 weeks. Sam keeps shoving other stuff in your face. I don't even know. I've never had one of these, so I can't talk to you about it.
She gave me this before the show. The one I'm going to try here is called Mazapan Gigante.
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 Yeah.
All right.
That's a giant marzipan is what that means.
Cubierto de chocolate.
Yeah, there you go. Nailed it. Covered in chocolate,
pretty
man.
Pretty much nailed it.
Yeah.
So this is, I don't think I've had, I know what it is, but I don't think I've ever had mazapan before.
Yeah, marzipan is like.
Marzipan is pronounced marzipan?
In English.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is, oh shit, I just spilled it all over the place. Like this is chocolate.
Like a sugary bread, I think.
Which I'm not like a huge fan of, but.
We'll see what he says. I've never had one of these, so I can't add too much to the thing. I want to. Oh, man, you're making a huge mess. So, first of all, not good for when you're in bed. Don't eat these in bed.
No.
It's really crumbly. I didn't see that coming.
It crumbled all over the place, dude.
Yeah. Well, things in Mexico are built really shoddily, dude.
It's like adobe, dude. This is what they built their house out of for several years.
Wow, dude. Jesus Christ. Yeah, this is why they all died in those earthquakes, man. Well, holy. Wow. You just took a bite of a cereal and then you down an entire culture's building materials, man.
This is pretty good, aside from just crumbling all over the place. It reminds me very much of a type of cookie. This tastes exactly like a type of cookie, like a Butterfinger. It tastes like
I love Butterfinger.
Yeah. It's not as crunchy as that. It's more like a little crumbly, but it tastes just like a Butterfinger.
Ooh. So,
which is pretty good.
Out of 10, what do you give it?
That's good. I mean, I'm not crazy about chocolate, but if you like chocolate, you would absolutely love this. It's right. Really good.
Cool. I'm glad you like it. Now,
it
says this segment really brings the racism out of Bobby. Bobby, let me give you the one that I wanted to give you.
We're going to do two a week.
Oh, God. The salsa Getty? You're going to run out of it, though.
Dude, I have so much. Here you go. That fork is clean.
I don't trust that for a second.
Now, you go over the entire, I want what it looks like, the whole thing.
Okay. A very crinkly wrapper, which you can probably hear. It's called Lucas Salsa Getty, and it's got a duck who appears to be surfing, or he's posing like he's surfing, but I can't see past his waist.
Right.
So
he probably doesn't have pants on, I'm guessing.
He's got a very interesting posture, and he's wearing sunglasses, and he looks very excited to see me. Pineapple. All right, I'm down with that. So salsa Getty, I'm guessing this is going to be like a combination of salsa and spaghetti.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. So you're going to get something that looks like spaghetti. And the salsa comes in a little packet. So I want you to go ahead and... what I really hate about this is the little packets underneath the salsa. Or oh, the
you
spaghetti.
Have to put the salsa on the
spaghetti? Yeah, man.
Dude, I don't cook.
It's a whole thing. This is a whole thing, dude.
Oh, my God.
For sure. Use your teeth. It's okay.
I got it. I got a tear in it.
So there's a little like ketchup packet in there. And you pour this sauce over the spaghetti. And you end up with something that looks kind of like spaghetti. Right?
It looks exactly like spaghetti, but yeah. I'm pouring salsa on it. I don't understand. Like, is this, do they call this candy? Would you
yes, this is candy. These are dulces. This candy. Yes, candy.
Oh, man, that smells a little weird, dude. I don't know about this. Let me move the mic away.
All right. So, do you guys like this segment? Should we keep going with it? I mean, everybody loves a little bit of racism, right? Oh, Bobby's doing the fork twirl, making sure he gets all the noodles on his fork.
This is stiff spaghetti.
And we threw it against the wall. It was the right level. He looks so confused. So yeah, about half of it in his mouth right now.
Oh, that's wild.
Oh, it's wild. It's got moxie.
This is wild. The salsa is very sweet. I can taste the pineapple in it.
All right.
And the spaghetti tastes like it should be a Twizzler, but it's not a Twizzler. It just tastes like...
It's like a yellow...
It's very thick, and it has like a chew to it.
Okay.
But it's not... It doesn't have any taste to it. Huh. It's just like all texture.
So you got to get all the flavor from the... So you got to make sure that salsa gets everywhere,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, the salsa... The flavor is in the salsa.
And the salsa... So... In Spanish, at least Mexican Spanish, salsa means sauce. So, it, mm-hmm. like mustard is a salsa, ketchup is a salsa. So, Don't think of salsa as like what you get when you go to the fucking
bunch of diced up tomatoes.
And stuff. Ooh, he ate the whole thing in seconds, guys. I think he likes this one. I think we have a winner here.
It is confusing. Because it's just like, if anyone were to offer you, like, hey, would you like some candy-flavored spaghetti? Like, would you like some sugary spaghetti? Like, that would be so bizarre. Like, you know, spaghetti's great. What if we turn it into a candy? Like, that's wild, dude. Ugh. That's like when the Ninja Turtles would put ice cream on their pizza. It's just like, ugh. But it's
good. Works?
Yeah. That one's pretty good.
Well, which one do you like the better?
Well, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of chocolate, but I think that's the better one. I think more people would like that.
Good.
The salsa getty, yeah, I did enjoy that. I didn't like having the whole preparing thing.
Right.
Like that.
It should be done in the kitchen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you like it, man.
That one.
I'm crying over here.
How do they sell these? What are those? Like 20 pesos? What's the?
I don't know how it works, man. You buy a huge bag of them because we buy this kind of stuff for pinatas is why. Oh, okay. So we get a giant bag. That's why we have like a supply mixed. Of this. Yeah. Okay. So you get a bunch of weird shit. Right. But next week you get to try Boobaloobu.
Boobaloobu. Yep. All right.
Yep.
You shouldn't tell me. It should be a surprise.
Okay. So
I'm not going to be able to type anything for the rest of the episode because my fingers are covered.
If you want to go wash up, do you want a Clorox disinfectant wipe?
Do you have one to add? Like readily available.
Not in this room.
I'll just use my middle finger to scroll on the mouse and stuff. It'll just, there we go.
All right, cool. Figured it out.
Because it's time for listener questions, and we've actually got a lot of listener questions this week, but I don't usually need to look anything up for this. Okay. First one is coming from M. Pilaf, or Nick, who was just on the line with us. He asks, if you had to make any game series into a full-length feature film, and they wouldn't be crap, what game would you choose?
Mass Effect was the first thing that came to my mind. I don't know if that might ruin the whole thing. But so many people aren't going to go and play those three games. More are going to do it now that the HD remake is coming through.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's a story worth telling, for sure.
Well, the remake isn't for sure yet, but it looks like it. Yeah, that would be a good one. I mean, it's like a big space opera. I wonder if it would infringe on Star Wars a little bit, but I don't know. I guess it could be its own thing.
Well, that's the impending doom. I thought it was pretty original.
Yeah, the Reapers. I like that whole thing, like the galaxy being harvested. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mass Effect would be great. I feel like that is going to be a movie. I don't know. You hear like that movie's going to be made and then it falls through and then
Borderlands, I think, is like close. Like they're casting, people are signing. I think it was Borderlands. Anyway.
Borderlands movie? Okay. Yeah, I don't know. The Mass Effect answer was pretty good. There's a lot of, you know, of course everyone wants like Half-Life, but I always thought you might be able to make an interesting movie out of Portal. I was watching some of Portal 2 the other day, like some of the clips from that. It's been so long since I've played it, but that one, they really started to carve out a story for it.
The first one, there
was hardly anything.
Yeah.
It was kind of like there was a turn in it and like, oh, this robot's actually evil. And that was kind of fun, but there was nothing to it. But Portal 2, like they really got into the backstory of it. And I feel like there's something there, but I don't think the way Valve is, I don't know if that would ever really happen.
Yeah. I don't think they would trust their IP to anybody else.
Well, but, I don't know. People have said like, oh, you should do a movie. And they said, well, that's great. You can do it, but we won't. I mean, they're so open source.
Yeah.
So I feel like they'd be up for it, but
nobody's tried to get that yet. I don't know. They didn't pay the right price.
Yeah. There's always legal entanglements.
And the other thing is, dude, Skyrim. You know what? Mm-hmm. When's the last time that we got a warrior versus a dragon movie? Like, even Dragonheart, which is the last one I got, wasn't really about, like, a warrior going against a dragon. It was more about the dragon being, like, a good, smart dude, you know?
Yeah,
like,
they were on the same side in Dragonheart.
What was the other one? Ring of Fire, which is a great movie. I love fucking dragons.
Didn't see that one.
Really? With Matthew McConaughey being on steroids? You didn't see that one?
No, did not
see that one. He was fucking ripped, dude. He was huge in that. He looked like a Viking, dude.
Huh.
Yeah.
There's a while there where he was in really good shape.
Yeah. But, you know, it was really great scene in that movie. So there's no TV, there's nothing. It's the apocalypse, right? They have a little castle. It's modern times, but they have a little castle that they live in because stone still stands up to Dragonfire, you know? And so they recreate a play of Star Wars, right? With knights and stuff. And they go, Luke, I am your father. And all the kids are like, oh my God. And they're like, shocked by the Star Wars story, right? And then afterwards they're like, did you write that? Or who wrote that? And he's like, I did. It was clearly Star Wars.
I've never even heard of that movie. That's crazy. I got
Ring of Fire, dude.
Ring of Fire. Really? Maybe when I like see it, when I look it up, I'll be like, oh
Rain of Fire.
Rain of Fire?
Yeah, Rain of Fire.
I look it up now, but I got chocolate.
Christian Bale, yep.
Fingers. I'll look that one up later.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, when I first saw this question, the first thing that popped to mind was Zelda. Legend of Zelda. I think that would be, first of all, everyone would go see that movie just because it's
the name.
Yeah, just because of the name, just because of the IP. But I feel like you could really make a good story there. You've got enough characters. You could really take the plot in any direction and it wouldn't matter. Like, people would go see that movie and it'd probably still be pretty enjoyable. So,
CGI or live action?
Yeah, live action. Live action, CGI monsters and stuff. But, you know, cool. Something for the kids. All right, next question from Sheer Pwnage. Where do you see PC gaming in 5 years? More VR or perhaps an increased interest in services like GeForce Now?
Both. I feel like VR is getting bigger and bigger, especially with Alex coming out and showing. So Alex showed, by the numbers, I think 2 million more people bought VR after Half-Life Alyx came out. That's a huge amount of people.
2 million?
2 million people bought VR. Well, it looked like it, you know. Half-Life Alyx came out, and then that many more people started playing VR afterwards. Who knows how many were because of that game. But HTC now is working with Microsoft and Valve to work on a next-gen VR.
Reverb G2 or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah, apparently there's some sort of teaser video. I couldn't find it, but
May 28th, there's supposed to be an announcement, I think.
So that's the thing. So if they're going to keep making them, people are going to keep buying them. And
well, I think they need to be more affordable and a little more user-friendly, too, to really penetrate, to really have that mainstream appeal. But
yeah.
I don't know. I see PC gaming heading more... I think eventually it's going to shift towards more online service-like stuff, like GeForce Now, like subscription models, like just, you know, pay-as-you-go service-style things. I just think there's a generation of kids that are probably got into gaming, PC gaming, because of Fortnite, that are growing up and are not concerned with their Steam account or their... you know, or having games on a hard drive, or they don't care about, you know, like the legal entails of owning versus buying online. You know, they just want to play a game, and like convenience is the number one factor.
And looking cool while you're playing that game.
So I don't know. I think that's like many years out, but I think eventually we're going to get to that point. Maybe not in 5 years, but I think we'll see.
We'll see where it goes with this internet. So really, that's a... We got to make sure everybody's on the same internet and speeds and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens with that too. Cause, you know, you can't have competitive online I guess it's happening. Yeah, I guess you can have it. I was going to say you can't have it, but.
Well, I mean, there's going to be that subset of people who are really competitive and want the best advantage they can possibly get out of something. But I think the majority of people, like mainstream, I think there's going to be a lot of people that are just like, I want to play a game. You know, I don't really care. There's kids that play Fortnite on their phone, right?
Yeah.
Or is it PUBG? No, Fortnite's on a phone.
Both, yeah.
Yeah.
It's on everything, dude.
Let's see. Next question from Sniper. If you could fly a ship from any sci-fi setting, what would you fly?
The Enterprise, because it has the holodeck, and I spend my whole time in the holodeck fucking bitches. And fighting things.
You can really fly the Enterprise, though. It takes a lot of people to do that. It's a little true. Big of a ship. I don't know.
It doesn't feel like you're flying when you're flying these things, like these really big ones.
Yeah.
But yeah, I stick with my answer. Although I really like that, like the Millennium Falcon can fly in space and on in, you know, regular.
It's always atmosphere. Interesting how the Millennium Falcon, like, I don't know if this is something that's not known to a lot of people, but the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon is way off to the side.
To the side of it. Yeah. It's that like thing that protrudes from the side.
Mm-hmm. Kind of comes out the side and then the whole ship is just like off to the left of it.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird way to fly.
It's a great. It's asymmetry that made it so popular. I feel like it's, you know, that is part of Star Wars, a huge part.
Yeah. I would definitely just for nostalgia purposes, fly the Millennium Falcon. Just going to Disneyland and that waiting area when you're getting on the ride where you're sitting in the Millennium Falcon and there's a DeJarrick table right there. And it's studio quality.
Yeah.
It looks just like,
looks like you're on set.
Yeah. It's so cool.
Yeah. I was so hopefully Sam's not listening. I was so taken away with like the aesthetics of the being in line that I forgot that I was supposed to be taking care of me. I was like the owner. And then like 5 minutes passed and I was like, oh shit. And I started going back in line. And I found her. I was like, oh, holy shit. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they really do it all up. Like even when you're waiting in line, they have like these boxes and crates and things that look like they would be laying around the Rebel base.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? Yeah. The Millennium Falcon for sure. I didn't even care about the ride. I just wanted to hang out on the Falcon there. Next question from Cammy T. If you could go back in time and give your 21-year-old self advice, what would it be?
Wear a condom.
That's good advice for any 21-year-old.
Fucking invest in Google.
Yeah, I'd probably give myself a lot of stock tips.
Yeah, stock tips. But let's say it's out of that. I would, I don't know. Jeez. Maybe get into streaming and stuff earlier, like get on Twitch early on. I feel like a lot of the podcasting and Twitch money all came, like famous people got a lot of money. And then also just the first people that stuck to it and did it really well also did really well, you know?
Yeah.
Like there's going to be money in this, do this instead of whatever else you're doing.
Yeah. Get in at the ground floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good advice. Let's see. Next question from Papa Bear. Don't care. Just finished watching Altered Carbon. Seems like it could make an interesting game. What recent shows or movies have you watched that could make a good game? So other way around on this one, we're taking a game or taking a show or a movie and turning it into a game.
Did you watch Altered Carbon, Bobby?
I did not.
Oh, you should.
I've heard good things.
Yeah, it's good. I haven't watched the second season yet, but it's really good.
Man, fortunately, a lot of the TV that I watch is so old. It was back in the day when they made a game about literally everything, you know? It's just like, yeah, that movie did pretty well. Make a video game out of it.
It's super easy to do.
Yeah. And like some of them were actually pretty good, or maybe that's just how games were that day. But it's funny because sometimes that's not the case. And my search history's got to be so weird. But I look up like... You know, was there a step-by-step video game? You know, like, of course there wouldn't be. Why would there possibly be? Maybe there, I don't know. A small part of my brain was like, yep, you get to play as Patrick Duffy and you have to like solve problems of just trying to get cohesion amongst the family.
Meanwhile, we just saw a video that where fucking RoboCop was fighting the Terminator in like better graphics than the original movie. And, yeah. Like that's like a total 80s nerd out, dude. That's like ultimate shit. I sent that to like five people, that video. I thought it looked so good.
Yeah, there is a here's a good answer to your question that is kind of true. There's a game called Terror Drome. This is a game that somebody made, Terror Drome, the game Rise of the Boogeyman, and it's a 2D fighting game that has all these horror icons in it.
Oh, okay.
Icons and some lesser known characters as well. Let me pull up some gameplay here so you can see. Now, they're actually redoing this and trying to make like a real game out of it, not just like some flash game somebody made that looked pretty cool. And the problem is they can't get the license for all this stuff. So they started doing all the classic monsters like Frankenstein and, you know, Dracula, you know, those kind of free.
Dude, if you have a dead character like that hasn't made a movie in 15 years, Let that shit go, man. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
Well, Terradrome, the original one, has some pretty deep cuts here. All right. They've got the dude from Reanimator in there. Like, that's not a lot of people not a lot of people are going to know that one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look up YouTube here.
There's so a Scream guy with a Scream mask.
Yeah. The guy from Scream is on there. Like, a lot of people. Terradrome. Oh, not Terradrome 2.
The Kenobi trailer. Did you watch that, dude?
No, not yet.
Ooh.
I'll have to check that out. I'm looking forward to that.
It looks super good.
Yeah. Well, you can play as Jason. You can play as Freddy Krueger. All the obvious ones.
There. So how could they get the IP? They didn't get the IP, obviously.
This is like a fan-made one. They've got the tall man.
They're not making money, Phantasm. So that's why, right?
Yeah. This is like a free game you can download the executable for. Yeah, tall man from Phantasm. That's a deep cut. Let's see. I want to get to a character select screen so we can see the other ones. But you can see the combat's pretty maniac cop. Yeah.
That guy's from Slaughterhouse, right? Or no, that's Jason.
Yeah, that's Jason.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the graphics aren't great. Ash from Evil Dead.
Child's Play.
Hellraiser. They got Pinhead. Yeah.
So this is our way of getting around your question, dude.
I mean, this is a great idea for a game, but I feel like people have all already done this. Leatherface. They've made a game just about, you know, they've made like these free like 2D fighter games about anything you could possibly imagine. I remember playing one, like a flash game like 15 years ago called like Bible Fighters, and it was like Jesus and Moses and all these people from the Bible, like in a 2D
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like pretty good.
Yeah.
Like it was pretty good quality for back
then. Remember the one with the inventors or like geniuses? Mm-hmm. It was like Einstein versus like Hawking versus do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was another cool one. I'm just going to go with there is a mod for Crusader Kings 2 that turns it into Game of Thrones. And I just thought that was like a perfect pairing. But if Game of Thrones had its own grand strategy, I think that would be pretty great because they have they have so many armies that you could use and they could all have their own stats and stuff.
They have yet to make a really good Game of Thrones game.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like they're all mods because, like, you know, Reigns,
mm-hmm.
Bobby, that card game?
Yeah, the card
game. There's a Game of Thrones version of that. I don't know if it's better than the original, but
well, yeah. Telltale had their version or their
game. Oh, that's true. I did play the first episode of that.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
Didn't hook me. And also, there's one just very generic 3D action adventure Game of Thrones game that nobody liked.
Mm.
Next question from Burn Division. Have you ever experienced a time when a bodily function is interrupted or severely impaired your performance during a major gaming session?
Dude, must have happened a million times. I've had to go take a shit in the middle of a raid a lot of times. I can't say there was a specific time.
I'm just remembering that part from that South Park episode of Wow.
Dude, I pee.
Calls for his mom.
I pee 8 times a fucking podcast episode.
Yeah, you should just game from the bathroom.
Yeah, it's true. I should set that whole thing up. It's cleaner in there than the garage too, Bobby.
Although you did clean up,
I did clean up.
Yeah,
yeah.
Last question from Curd the Ape: when are you going to stream Kentucky Route Zero? Just do the first episode.
When we do play it, sure we can stream it.
Mm-hmm.
I like streaming on fucking Discord, man, because like the people that show up on Twitch are just the people that are on Discord anyway. Mm-hmm. So, and it's so easy to just hit one button, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is pretty convenient, although the quality isn't quite as good. I don't know. I'll stream that. I'll stream the first episode of Kentucky Route Zero. I don't know if it's going to be this week. I got a lot going on this week, actually. Once I make it past this week, it's all going to be easy. So maybe in a week and a half, I'll do that. But yeah, I'd love to play that game. I want to do it, and I wouldn't mind streaming it.
Clown Ocean, you nailed it, dude. A mod for Mountain Blade to Game of Thrones. That would be excellent.
That would be
just
good.
Fits perfectly.
Surprised it hasn't been done yet.
Yeah, for sure.
That game's very mod friendly, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know if the newest one is.
Hmm.
But yeah, there is already mods.
It must be, because I've seen articles about it.
Yeah.
All right, what are we playing next week?
I have no idea. Maybe it's time to get into Mountain Blade. I don't know.
Maybe.
Definitely, I'm going to try to finish Revenant and maybe play that co-op shooter. The
Gunfire Reborn.
Gunfire Reborn. That sounds good, right?
Yeah, how close are you to being finished with Remnant?
I have no idea. I haven't looked up how...
I looked it up while you were talking about it. It said 13 and a half hours for but it also said like 20 hours for like main plus extras, so...
But I'm thinking like, dude, how many... How do they know how many times you tried on a boss?
It depends on your skill level.
Yeah, so. We're fucking burning through these new bosses, but the first two bosses took us an hour each, probably. Mm. Yeah.
I'd say, well, how many hours have you put in already?
I have no idea. I'd have to look that up. 7, 8.
You know, it's probably, I've noticed you leave your game running a lot.
A lot.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause when shit happens. I gotta like leave.
Yeah.
You know?
So I don't know if you could look at Steam and really know how many hours you put into it.
Yeah. Like Crucible. I left it running all day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I will probably play Stronghold 2 this week.
Yeah, because we might be doing an interview or something, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've never played a Stronghold game before. A lot of people like them. There's something there. I want to check it out. Probably this week, and then that'll, you know, give me some time to stream Kentucky Route Zero after that.
Cool. Speaking for Bobby and myself, Remnant titties. I don't know what that means. Maybe they're droopy or dark, something. Bye. Bobby, did you see the thank you note that I sent with the stickers?
Yeah, someone posted a picture on
Discord.